It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 315. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please remember to visit the main website at miketechshow.com. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com, where you can send me any question or ideas for upcoming shows. And I have a great one today that I'm going to read from a listener of a dedicated show in a couple weeks that I think is a great timely topic. I have a voicemail hotline. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, and that's twitter.com/MikeTechShow. I have great show planned, lots of little topics I want to talk about. Consulting this week, some things I've ran into. I have some follow-ups from the Philly Tech Guy show. I'm still working on the audio and finalizing the audio, and I will get that posted up shortly. But I have some follow-ups from that and some other tips and tricks, and I have some great email from you listeners. Before we get started, you've heard me talk about GoToMeeting for a long, long time. They've been a sponsor for over 5 years. But do you know why? It is because they are the best online meeting service. And that's because you can join meetings in seconds. There's no complicated setups. It's very easy. Just one click and you can join a meeting. Attendees, they don't even need an account. They're simple features. You could share the keyboard and mouse control. Or switch presenters. You can share just a certain program or the whole screen. Even record your meetings. It has integrated voice over IP audio. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you have to go to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial. A quick follow-up from the Philly Tech Guys. If you were watching Steve Cherubino and I on Saturday, at the end of the show, Steve and I started repairing two notebooks for a client of mine. And he took the dust remover, the can of air, compressed air, and took a Toshiba satellite, an old Toshiba satellite that was overheating and it would shut down. So he took the compressed air and blew out the dust from one of the vents through the bottom fan. It was a lot of dust. It came out, blew it out. Then I left that notebook on all night for hours and hours. That notebook never overheated and it did not shut down. The other system, what we did, we took and we changed the memory. So it was in an endless state of booting up. When I redid XP on the notebook prior to the show, it would go into a safe boot where you have that menu, and it would let you pick, normal startup or safe boot. It didn't matter. Any option that you picked, it would start, and then it would boot again. So we shut it off. We had a stack of memory that was untested that my client was able to provide me from a friend of theirs. Took two sticks of memory just randomly that we hadn't tested, put it in, and I had no problems. I was able to start an install, but we had no time. We had to shut the show down and finish up. So there was just no time to work on it any further. And it was the memory. This is, the follow-up that I got to add to the end of the audio of the Philly Tech Guy show. If you were watching it, I promised that I would, yes, Vince in the chat here says, bad memory causes bad installs, and he hit it right on the head. And with good memory, I had to redo XP, did it from scratch. It installed perfectly. I had all the drivers. By Saturday night, both systems were perfect and ready to roll. And I called my client and said, swing by on Sunday and you can pick them up. So he came by on Sunday, picked them up, and they're very, very happy. That was the notebooks. Now, why did we have to finish so quickly? While I had Steve here, a client right around the corner from me had a workstation problem. This is a client that they're on retainer for support, for my support. And their workstation, there was a noise in it. And I hadn't had a chance to head over there and find out what the noise was. But we all assumed that it was the power supply. We said, well, it's got to be the power supply. It sounded like a bad fan, sounded like the power supply is going. I took Steve around, and in minutes, I mean just a couple minutes, we opened up the computer. He determined that it was the fan on the video card. It was an ATI card in an older HP system workstation, and that fan was causing the sound problem. And luckily, I have a spare system because they have 17 systems in the office. So we keep a spare system with the identical parts. We are able to go over there, pop out the video card, put it in. And this is the receptionist. It was awesome. We fixed the problem in under a half hour. And that's why it was nice to have Steve there, because he's so good at diagnosing workstations, because he had owned a shop where he lived in the trenches doing repairs. When I could take advantage of that, I did. I did compensate Steve. I did take care of him. That was very nice of him to do that. Very, very happy. My client's happy. I'm happy. He's happy. Happy, happy, happy. And that's what we want. We want everybody to be happy. He had a time constraint to get to the Phillies game. He was able to make the Phillies game, which was actually a great game that night on Saturday night. So thank you very much, Steve. And I am going to miss Steve when he moves to Florida. But we promised we will get together for another Philly Tech Guys live in August. Even if it's him being a guest on the Mike Tech Show, Steve and I will do another live show together. We have such a great time when we do it. A tip, something I ran into this week with a client, their Symantec endpoint security expired. Now, I had the license upgrade and I didn't apply it. So they were crushed with spam. They were getting killed. I logged on and I quickly applied the file, seeing that it updated and everything was good to go. They're still getting spam. So I stopped and start the services, stopped the Exchange server services, because this is Exchange Small Business Server. They are still getting crushed. I rebooted the server that night, thinking maybe everything just needs to be restarted. Nice, fresh reboot. Again, they're being killed with spam. So that following morning, I call Symantec Tech Support. Now, it's an odd time. I'm on the phone with them at 6:30 a.m. Eastern time, so I don't know where I'm going to end up in the world. But the person had an Australian accent, so I was lucky. We were able to communicate. It was a half hour later that I finally got to a tech after I gave all the information, because they legitimately have the support. And the tech described what happens. If you have Symantec endpoint, and especially the mail security piece, if it expires, even after you apply the updated license file, the spam filter is automatically, their premium spam service is disabled. You have to find the checkbox under, buried in the monitoring, buried in the settings, and you know, it takes a few clicks to find this, and then there's the checkbox, and it's right in front of you, and it's not checked for enabled. And I'm like, I can't believe this. So I'm sharing this because if you go through applying a license upgrade, make sure you go to the policies box and then the premium spam filtering section and make sure the box is enabled and then make sure it's not even an apply button. It's some kind of obscure button at the top on the left-hand side that you got to click to make sure the update takes. And then once it did that, spam stopped. And my client was very, very happy. I made sure that didn't happen with another client where they have a week to go. And I made sure last night I took care of that. So the license files updated. A lot of my clients, I inherited Semantic Endpoint Security. It's one of those things that when you do this, if you are providing any kind of software where there's a support license involved, you should put a tickler, a little reminder in Outlook, whatever calendar you're using, make sure it's like a month before it expires. And the minute you provide this for your client, go 11 months out and put a reminder in there to let you know that, oh, okay, a reminder for client ABC, I have to renew the Semantic. And then when you get the renewal done, make sure you apply it right away. So the minute it comes in, put another tickler in there, another check within your calendar to remind you before it expires that you apply it. And you have to get disciplined with this. And these things are getting by me because I inherit it. And you got to remember, when you inherit a client, then you got to go back, okay, what are all these licensing, software and things that they've bought? Because now you're responsible for the ownership of reminding them and getting them straightened out. And you don't want to have those problems. So a valuable lesson learned this week with one of my clients. Another one, and this is a new client that I visited this week. Very excited. Matter of fact, two new clients this week. Next week, another new client. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. They have Internet Explorer. It's an older workstation. They had several workstations, and this is at a house on a home network. I went to each workstation, and the last one, Internet Explorer, you click on it and just nothing happens. I mean, it just wouldn't load. Now, it had been crashing before that. One of the things I did, and it fixed it. And, I recommend this sometimes. And I know a lot of you are saying, get them on Firefox. I have clients that cannot use Firefox. And there are websites and there are things, especially when it comes to financial advisors. They are forced to use Internet Explorer. That's just the way it is. I have to deal with it and I have to support it. So I pulled out tried and true portable Firefox, plugged in my USB stick, loaded portable Firefox, went to Microsoft, downloaded IE8, ran IE8, the install, beautiful, fixed everything, very, very nice. Before I did that, just to clean up things, don't forget to clean the temp files, clean the internet temporary files. Make sure, someone mentioned in the chat, just make sure there's no add-in that's crashing Internet Explorer. Run CCleaner to clean the registry. I went through all of my standard cleaning techniques and then hit it with the whammy, new IE8. That fixed the problem. They're happy. So just a reminder, sometimes that can just save a lot of trouble going through a mess of cleaning things up. Just try reinstalling Internet Explorer. I am still fighting spyware with clients. I have Holy Trinity of fixes, Viper Rescue, Malwarebytes, Super Anti Spyware. I throw them at it, and I would say 98% of the time, I'm able to get rid of it. But I had this nagging problem, which I finally got rid of, which is could be a story all onto itself, of a client that got infected, that their system, everything was working fine, except a redirection when they would search and go to a website and the search list comes up And no matter what browser they're using, whether it was Firefox or Internet Explorer, how about this? In Firefox, I learned one of their plugins for a theme actually was infecting and taking over the searches. Yes. So I have seen a Firefox infestation with a client, and it was some Harry Potter theme or something that infected the browser. Beware of some of these things. And it was subtle. It would take them to shopping sites, and it would take that when you go to search. So it was no elaborate pop-ups or things. It was subtle and actually scarier when you think about it, because if it wasn't for the user just noticing, well, wait, I didn't mean to go there. Why am I going there? And it was a new site that they were clicking on that was the result of a search. You know, they're getting pretty smart out there. And there's a lot of things that are infecting systems, and, you know, they're getting smart. It's hard to stay on top of it. It keeps you on your toes. And I have been just spending, I think, an inordinate amount of time in the past few months in just cleaning spyware from systems. And it's a shame because it's a waste of money. I got to charge my client. I mean, it's not something I enjoy doing, but I'm doing it. And it's not the way I want to make money, because it frustrates my client when they got to spend a ton of money for all that to be cleaned up. So I understand. I try to cut them a break when I'm doing that, because I understand. And I want to show, hey, I'm willing to, you know, work with them. Everybody's recommending a reminder, OpenDNS for your DNS. If you haven't heard about it, I've done lots of shows on it. You go to opendns.com and learn how to populate your router with OpenDNS's IP addresses for DNS. And it's a great way to prevent phishing and to prevent all kinds of infestations. It's just another way of blocking things at the perimeter. Security must be deployed in layers. And you start at the perimeter and you work your way in. And you want to have different layers of security. And you begin first having a router that is a firewall and does NAT, which most of them do, use OpenDNS. Then you need multiple products where maybe software firewall, you got the Windows firewall turned on. Then you need anti-spyware and malware programs. And it's just a way to practice safe computing. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in and what we have to do. A couple follow-ups. Last week, I made a request for assistance in helping me put the title command for the website for my WordPress blog at miketechshow.com, and doing that without impacting the graphic header that I have. Jason from fantasticfreeware.com came to the rescue. He was able, I sent him my header.php file from my website. He was able to determine a specific line that would read the title and print it on the website. By removing that line of code from the header.php, I was now able to populate the title field in the settings, but yet it not appear on the blog. And now that title is part of the RSS feed, and I no longer get that error when we do a feed validator or any kind of checks. And there's lots of podcatchers that I am sure now will not have a problem with my feed because of being able to take care of that. And a big, big thank you to Jason for helping me with that. Something I forgot to mention, and it was about my client with the video card that making the sound. Kate and I were chatting this week, and I mentioned this to Kate, and she sent me a link that I'm going to have in the show notes about HP having a known problem with a video card. Now, it wasn't the video card that I had, but it was very similar. So it's interesting. HP has a known problem with a video card that makes that sound. So I'm going to have a couple links to that in the show notes. And thank you, Kate, for sending me that. That was great. And she knew about it because of clients that she was dealing with having a similar problem. I also have to thank Kate. She listened to the Philly Tech guys and she heard me go off and complain about Facebook and how do you get rid of all the games. And I think this came up in the chat. I didn't have time to notice it because of all the topics and everything we were doing on Saturday. Well, I didn't realize how easy it is to go on the right-hand side of a post on Facebook, click hide, then you see the games and you just say, no game. And I wish there was a one click for all the games, but there's not. Farmville and Mafia Wars and all these other things that I can't stand. And I just don't care. Anybody who's following me, what you're doing in these games. Go, have fun, do whatever you want. I just don't want to know about it. I was able to go in and eventually I was able to get to all of them and hide everything. And now I have a nice, clean Facebook feed that I enjoy reading. Facebook's starting to grow on me because I've been able to minimize the irritations. And Kate actually took me through that while we were Skyping on online together. And that was great. So again, a big thank you to Kate. All right, let's get to some email. And this first email is from Jorge, regular listener, and it's going to relate to how to find new clients. And this is a proposal for a new show. Hi, Mike. I would love for you to have a show where you can cover how to advertise and promote your business on a low budget. Let's get a general feedback from all of your listeners and let's come up with a list of things that work and things that you should avoid. In my case, I'm still employed, but I do my best to keep in touch with my customers via email, sending regular promotions and offers. I'm planning a mailing list only for local businesses in my area. How about business cards, car magnets, flyers, etc.? What is everybody else doing out there? What's working and what's not? There are so many things that people do in order to promote their business, and I would love to have a show only dedicated for advertising and promoting an IT consulting business. Hope we get the cooperation from everyone out there. Talk to you later. Thanks, Jorge. Great idea. In 2 weeks, I would like to do a dedicated show to that topic. I have a lot of ideas, and I have some new ideas. They're working for me in getting new clients for me as I expand my consulting business. I am doing positive things that's working, and I will share them with you as part of that show. Also, send me your techniques. What are you doing to get new business? What have you done and it doesn't work? That's what I want. That's what we need. And we are going to share that. Kins just made a comment and he says, Mike, you work for businesses and not home users. That is not correct. I have a mixed business right now. I am working for home users and businesses. Now, I would prefer businesses. And that's where my bread and butter is. That's where I'm getting clients on retainer. But I don't ignore those individuals and going to a home. And there is some techniques, and it's important. I do go on site to home users. So, and I've done that this week, as a matter of fact, for two users. The notebooks that we worked on Philly Tech Guys on Saturday, that was a home user. So I want to make sure that we collect the ideas and we'll separate what works for home users, what's going to work for businesses. Yes, I believe there are separate approaches, but tell me what is working for you. Send me an email. miketechshow@gmail.com. Let me know. Just kick it off in an email and get that to me so I can collect them and build a show. And hopefully I'll get enough responses that will help. I know I can cover half a show with just things that I'm doing to help promote the business. I have some great ideas. And these ideas, they are working. Very positive things that you can do to grow your business. So, Jorge, a timely and very good email request, and we're going to stay on top of it. This is from Jeff. He tried ordering the TechNet with that coupon code that we had, and he tried to get the standard subscription, but near the end, before he was committing to the order, it did not apply the discount. Now, I know I had a couple listeners that sent that code in and said it works, but I think it's the TechNet Professional. I don't think it's for the standard version of TechNet. And he goes on, I do have a question for you regarding TechNet since you have a subscription. As I understand it, the Office 2010 should be software I have access to. I looked at the PDF listing. The software that is available at Office 2010 was not available except as a trial. Am I correct? No, you are not correct. Well, I'm not sure which one you're asking. Are you correct? Office 2010, the full version is available. Not only is it available, it's available in 64-bit and 32-bit, and you get 10 license keys for each version. So if you're looking for a few systems at home and you want to put Office 2010, the subscription to TechNet Professional pays for itself in Office 2010. And you're going to get everything. You're going to get everything, all of the Microsoft software, and it is the full version, and you get 10 licenses. Now, you got to follow the license agreement, which is specifically, it's for your testing purposes only. I wanted to add that. This is from David. He updated his iPhone from 3GS to the new OS 4, and iTunes shuts down when I click on your show. We actually got this question, and I'm going to link it. There is a solution that I went over a couple weeks ago, and unfortunately, you're going to have to listen to that show. There was an email read for a process that you have to go through in order to fix that, and that's unfortunate, but it was just one of the things that came along with the new update to the iPhone OS. This email is from Jay. I'm a big fan and follow tech. I was listening to show 313, and I heard the log me in sucks email. And I don't want to offend the person that wrote the email, but I just laughed and laughed. Log me in has been such a business generator for me with low overhead. And a quick funny story. I had received an email from my on-site computer repair business website that a client that I had on a retainer that you taught me about had an issue with installing an accounting software update that just wouldn't take at all. The error messages were just popping up everywhere. I was at a movie theater at the time I received the email, and with my Motorola Backflip, which is an Android cell phone, I was able to use Log Me In Ignition on the phone to log in and correct the problem. Now, the reason I was laughing earlier was that the fix for the client was just to run the update as an administrator. But I also ran into that problem with Log Me In with the rolling connecting, and I found that the computer that I was using had the security setting set to high, and the cookies were not being stored after I changed the settings to allow the browser to store the cookies everywhere. Worked great. Hope this helps, and keep up the great work, Jay. Jay, thank you, and thank you for that info. This is from Clive. A number of your listeners have asked about certifications and training, but have also mentioned the cost. There's a site which offers free training on various topics related to networking, CompTIA. The site is Professor Messer, and it's professormesser.com. Now, I've only sampled a few of the videos and classes, but from what I've seen, it's a great resource and at the very least a good start. If you want to download the courses, then there is a charge. But as far as I can see, the online tutorials are completely free. Plus, there are quizzes with answers and other interesting information. Should be worth taking a look. Keep up the good work, Clive. Clive, great idea. Professor Messer. I like that. And matter of fact, we're getting some positive response in the chat room for that site. I like that. This is the last email, and it's from Jim. And he has a list of procedures for repairing Windows XP. And the website, I went through this. The procedures look fine as things to try when you're trying to repair Windows XP from the recovery console. There's lots of tips in here. I'm going to make sure that this link is posted. I went through a lot of the fixes, and they don't seem to be incorrect. Check it out and let me know, especially if they help you with a client or with one of your systems if you're having a problem with XP. So there's lots of techniques in there in repairing XP. All right, I have some independent music for tonight. The music I've selected, I've actually played a long time ago. His name is Peter Adams. The song is The Disappeared. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
Yeah.
That is Peter Adams and the song The Disappeared. With that, we are finished for tonight. I want everybody to take a moment. If you are thinking of buying anything from Amazon, go to miketechshow.com, and on the left-hand side, one of the first affiliate links, it says Amazon.com, your dream PC starts here. You don't have to buy a PC. You can buy anything. But when you click on that link and purchase something from Amazon, a piece of that will be donated to the Mike Tech Show. So you're helping support the show. There's also the new computer business kit, the great sets of videos from Steve Cherubino, which is how to repair laptops. They're incredible. There's videos to help you build the perfect tech website. There's also SkypeBuy.com, GoDaddy, Rhapsody, and of course, Blockbuster. There's lots of affiliate links here that if you want to buy anything from those, I will get a commission for that, and I really appreciate that because it truly helps support the show. That's it. Thank you so very, very much. I really appreciate all of your support and your participation in the show via your voicemail, email. Thank you so much. I will be back same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.